Blog Talk Radio. Lift your worship.
Gotta be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
Woo! Amen. To God be the glory. We thank God, amen, that we try our best to be where he is. God is everywhere. I love that song. I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are, Jesus. So we thank God for the presence of the Lord being on this Bible study night. We thank God during this virtual Bible study time that he would educate and edify and equip us tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank God for empowerment. We thank God, hallelujah, for emancipation. God is a good God.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Our mission is to encourage, to empower in the name of Jesus, to edify. And we thank God that we have the opportunity to grow in the word. We preached on Sunday how we must grow spiritually. We must grow spiritually to begin to see what God sees. Hear what God says, and begin to really partake and embrace the spiritual things that he tries to get to our lives. So we thank God for you tonight as you have come, and hope you have your pens and your pads ready. As we teach Bible study, we pray that you take notes, note the scriptures that we reference while we're teaching, and go back, and although we meet, you know, we read several verses from that chapter, go back and read your Bible in your private time. The word says meditate on the word day and night, and you will find good success. It says, like Joshua, he meditated on that word day and night, you'll find good success. But the psalm writer said, if we meditate on that psalm, psalm number one, day and night, we'll be like a tree planted. So when you get that word in you, try in your private time to read the word of God and go back to that chapter or go back to that entire book and try to read the word of God. Let us pray before we get into what we want to share tonight. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Your word is rich. Your word is powerful. The Hebrew writer said it's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the very heart and asunder. And it says your word can discern the thoughts and intent of mankind. So, God, we need your word because sometimes we have the wrong motives and the wrong agenda. So we need your word to quickly sharpen and cut us, not to damage us, not to harm us, but to remind us that you want that word to be the governing factor in our lives. So, God, we thank you and we praise you that you ready our hearts and our ears to receive what you want us to receive tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we say amen. That simply means we agree with the word of God, and we thank God for his word on tonight. Well, I want to share from the title of my message on Sunday, the power of knowing who you are. The power of knowing who you are. It is so important for us to recognize who we are, not in and of ourselves, but recognizing who we are in Christ, who we are in God, and who we are in through the Holy Spirit, which is the third person. So Paul said, no longer I, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we got to be like the Apostle Paul and recognize that we are those new creations. I just believe that we ought to believe the Bible that tells us we're new creatures. We're new people. If we are in Christ, we are different. We are new. And I want to read, this is really, I'm going to go back actually to Numbers. I preach from Numbers chapter 23 on Sunday, but I'm going to look at Numbers 22 tonight, and I'm going to reference chapter 23. But I want to start here in the book of Romans. If you have your Bibles, your Bible apps, turn to the book of Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 is where we're going to start tonight. The book of Romans chapter number 8, verse number 17. Verse number 17. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow, there's so much there. I was gonna start at 17, but let's back up to verse number 14. Romans 8, verse number 14. As I was saying at the outset of the broadcast tonight, our identity, how we see ourselves in God, is so important. Yes, we're still the same natural person. Yes, we have the same eyes, the same body. When we look into the mirror, we're the same person. But spiritually speaking, we are different. People, we are three separate parts. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. Again, we have a body. Our spirit lives in what is called a body, but our spirit is invisible. Then we have a soul. Our emotions, our mind, our thoughts, our personality, and our will, our free will, that is considered the soul. So we have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And we're going to see here that the spirit is the most important part of who we are. When you got born again, your spirit was instantaneously made new. Your spirit, boom, became new when you confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, our body, Paul said there's no good thing that dwells in our flesh. Our body, our earthly body, through the fall of Adam in Genesis chapter number 3, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned because of what Adam did centuries ago. And then we have a soul, that thing that God once renewed. The word says we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So when we change the way we think, we change who we are. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 14 reads like this. It says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to focus in on that 18th verse. I'm sorry, the 17th verse. It says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Dr. Anthony, are you asking me, are you telling me that there's going to be some suffering in my life? Absolutely. But it says the suffering that you and I go through is to identify with Jesus Christ, because he is an heir to God. All that God has belong to the Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. I feel the Holy Ghost. We're going to, in the natural, when you inherit something, when you're an heir, when you leave, you write out your will, and you distribute your wealth or your belongings to your children. You leave your house to your family. You leave your car to your loved ones. You leave your assets and everything that you've obtained in this thing called life. You leave it to those who you love, those that you care about. Guess what? They become heirs. They become heirs of your possessions. And we are co-heirs with Jesus, God. It says we're heirs of God. So when we recognize who we are, our identity in Him changes how we look at life. It changes everything about our thinking. Glory be to God. Yes. Go to Numbers chapter number 22. Numbers, the book of Numbers, one of the first five books of the Bible. I think it's number four, the fourth book of the Bible, the book of Numbers, chapter number 22. Again, we're talking about the power of knowing who you are. The power of knowing who you are. It's a powerful, powerful thing when we recognize who we are in God. Yes. Numbers chapter number 22, verse number 21. I love this story. It's kind of humorous, but I thank God it's in the Bible. I thank God it's in the Bible. I grew up in the days of the talking horse, Mr. Ed. I guess I'm telling my age. I'm 53 years old, but when I was a kid, there was a sitcom, a little show on called Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Pastor Rebecca Noodle, she knows it. She's around here singing a song. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Oh, gosh. She's sitting here reciting the song. Now, I didn't remember the song, but the horse was a talking horse. And this Bible scripture talks about a talking donkey. It is a donkey that God used to talk to his prophet. The one that God called and ordained, Balaam, was a man of God. Balaam has supernatural power from God to bless and to curse people. But we're going to look at Numbers chapter number 22, verse number 21. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, "And Balaam rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he went to the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding on the donkey with two of his servants. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn out. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam hit the donkey with a stick. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, and a wall being on the side and one wall on the other side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he hit the donkey again with his stick. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the left or the right. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, the donkey fell down on the ground, and Balaam hit the donkey again for the third time. And the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said unto Balaam, 'What have I done unto you that you hit me these three times?' And Balaam said unto the donkey, 'Because you have mocked me. If I had a sword, I'd take it right now, and I'll kill you.' And the donkey said unto Balaam, am I not your possession? You ride me all the time. Have I ever done this before? And then verse 31 says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with the sword drawn in his hand. And he fell down flat on his face and began to worship God. We see that God go through great extremes to get our attention sometimes. I'll never forget in my early Christian walk, there were times where I tried to do something or I was headed towards something ungodly. Either my car would break down, God would give me a sign, God would send somebody to speak to me, or I'd get that interrupted phone call. Somebody on this line can relate to what I'm talking about. You've been on your way to do something that was out of the will of God, and God sent interference. God sent an interruption. God gave you a sign. God allowed you to almost have an accident that barely missed you.
Yeah.
God allowed someone to call you at the right time to interrupt the plan of the enemy. And God, through the mouth of a donkey, was trying to get through to this man of God to say, don't go to Balak. Don't curse my people. Don't take the money that he's offering you to do ungodliness.
Yeah.
But the Bible said Balaam insisted on going against the will of God. And God said, I'm going to allow you to go, but you're going to speak what I tell you to speak. Balaam knew who he was, but Balaam still got in the flesh and took the bribe, took the money, took filthy lucre because he had greed on his mind. And God says, when we know who we are in him, we don't compromise. When we know who we are in him, we don't only have the will to say no to certain things, we'll begin to say no to certain things and certain people. When we know who we are in God, when the tempter comes, and he will come, the devil's job is to tempt you and I. His job is to accuse us. His job is to deceive us and get us out of the will of God. So when the tempter comes to tempt you, don't go for his trap. You know, sometimes I look at the Bible and I look at my wife. My wife and I, we have different personalities. We have different personalities.
Yes, we do.
And I'll never forget, my stay in the hospital in 2015 and the early part of 2016, I would oftentimes had some business to take care of. And I would call the receptionist, or I would call the nurse, or I would call the nurse practitioner. And Sister Carmen, maybe she's on the line. She was a professional nurse, and I'm sure she was a beautiful nurse and took care of the patients. But there were times where the nurses and the receptionist would give me a hard way to go. And I would be nice, and sometimes I would be overly nice, but I would not get the things that I needed from the nurse or from the receptionist. And my wife would tell me, you have good insurance. You have a great doctor. If your doctors knew how they was treating you, their patients, she would deal with her staff. And my wife would say, next time, let me call to help you with that appointment. Let me call to help you obtain that paperwork. And she would, in her own way, knowing who she was, get things done. And sometimes I would be overly compensating, overly nice. And she would tell me, you don't have to be mean, you don't have to be angry to get the results that you're looking for. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, don't have false humility. Don't try to be a people pleaser and appeasing people when you know you're right and you know certain things that you deserve. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Being overly nice or being too kind sometimes people really do take kindness for weakness. People really do take kindness for weakness. You okay?
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. And yes, I really am a kind person. I think I am. I really do think I'm a nice person. But when I needed certain paperwork, and I heard I had certain timelines and certain deadlines I had to meet when it came to my insurance and getting bills paid and getting appointments that I needed, my wife helped me out because she said, you're a guy, and sometimes they'll treat the men that way. But let me get on the phone. And I tell you, it did not fail. Pastor Rebecca would get things done. And I would chuckle about it. Even renting a car, we broke down recently in Virginia. And she's just dialoguing with the lady behind the counter. She's just being herself, being nice. And the lady's talking about her lunch, and they just having girl talk. And you know, at the end of the day, this woman went out of her way to help Pastor Rebecca. My wife just simply being herself. She's a fun person. If you know my wife, if you know Pastor Rebecca, she loves people. And this lady took a liking to my wife, and in the end, we got a rental car. She went above and beyond to help us get back home to New Jersey. Because my wife knew and knows who she is in God. And I've seen it in the 22, 23 years we've been together. She has a way of getting things done and taking care of business. And when you and I know who we are in Christ, we get things done. We don't have to be, you know, I hear people trying to justify being mean to people. Well, Jesus called them a brood of vipers. Jesus called them hypocrites. Jesus called them liars, and they belong to the devil, who's the father of lies. Listen, we cannot justify doing wrong. Yes, Moses called them stiff-necked and rebellious. Yes, the apostle Paul said they're rebellious people. But God says to you and I, overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil doing good. We ought to take the high road. I really am saddened to see President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama leave the White House. I know we don't agree with all the policies that they passed, all the legislation that he signed into law. No, he was not perfect. But I tell you, this man and this woman, they exemplified. They really were a classy couple. He was a great orator. He was one of the wisest men of our times, of our generation. He was smart. He was intelligent. His likability was just off the chart. There was no other president in the history of this country who was like President Obama. That's white people, that's black people, that's Spanish people, that's Asian people, that's young people, that's old people. People just loved him because he had a magnetic personality. And it saddens me to see them leave. But he knew who he was in Christ. Yes, sometimes he became a people pleaser, but he knew who he was in Christ. And one of the things First Lady Michelle Barack said before leaving the White House, she said, every time they went low, we went high. In other words, she was saying, sometimes they're not going to pass our policies. Sometimes they're not going to pass the bills that we want, even though they are the ones that initiated certain bills. There are certain clauses and certain amendments in the bill that they want, and they still won't push it through. And she said, every time they went low, we went high. Every time we saw a wrong and the country saw us being wronged by the political process, we kept our composure. We kept our character. In 8 years, we're not going to leave with them saying anything bad about us, anything negative about us. We're not going to give them the dignity to say, see, I told you. And they did not once let the way political processes unfold derail them for who they were. I pray, you know, this is helping you tonight. Because there are going to be times in our lives where we're faced with challenges. And even Balaam, he took the compromise, and God was not pleased. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hebrews, chapter number 12. This is the book that followed Hebrews, chapter number 11. All those people of faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Abraham and Moses and Sarah. David and Samson, all in the book of Hebrews. Cain and Abel, Enoch, the writer of Hebrews, used all of these people, Jethro, and so many people. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Even as we get off the line tonight, read Hebrews, the entire chapter number 11. It's going to bless you. Because the just, that means you and I, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And all these, Jacob, Joseph, all these people that the Hebrew writer noted, and some people say it was Apollos, some people say it was the Apostle Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews. I lean toward Apollos. There's a lot of similarities in the book of Hebrews that really relates to the writings of the Apostle Paul. But we really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Historians and theologians are still debating. But it really doesn't matter. I just want to point out the fact that the Hebrew writer put all these people in the book of Hebrews to show us how they live by faith. Some had more than us. Some had less than us. But they live by faith in spite of. And as we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, listen to how he summarizes chapter number 11. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is so awesome. Centuries ago, the writer talks about all these people who live by faith. And then he starts out chapter 12 saying, listen, we have these examples. We have the Bible. We have these examples to live by. Let's do like they did. I'm going to bring you even closer to home. My mother lived by faith. My mother, time and time again, trusted God. And I tell you, as a young boy, I saw God pulling my mother and getting my mother out of a lot of tough and tight situations. We never lived on the streets. We never lived in a shelter. My mother was a single parent for a long time until she remarried. And once she remarried, we lived well. Oh, glory be to God. Once she remarried, we had a little something, something. But I remember those seasons in our lives where she was a single parent working three jobs. Yes, Pastor Anthony, you said three jobs. I said three jobs to keep a roof over our head. And I saw her living by faith. And maybe you have a parent or a grandparent Maybe you have a mentor or somebody you can look up to and measure your faith according to how they live and put their trust in God. And God is saying to us tonight, when we know who we are, because they knew who they were, and they are examples to us that when times get hard, when times get tight, when times get tough, we still got to live by faith. Glory be to God. There's so many scriptures I want to go to tonight. I'm going to speed it up because there's some scriptures I want to get to tonight before we get off this line and this Bible study. Joshua chapter number 18. Joshua chapter number 18. Go to the book of Joshua chapter number 18. I'm going to show you some people that quit. They quit on themselves. They quit on God. And God do not want us to quit. Quitting is easy. Quitting is simple. Quitting don't take a lot of effort. It is always too soon to quit. Pastor Anthony, you never wanted to quit? Oh, I wanted to quit on many occasions. I wanted to give up many times. I wanted to say, bump all of this. This ain't even worth it. But I'm still at it.
Amen. Amen.
I'm still running my race. I'm still trying to get what God said belongs to me. And let's see what Joshua, he got frustrated with the tribes of Israel. There were 12 of them. The children of Jacob created 12 tribes. And now, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan, is theirs to possess. And Joshua says right here, in chapter number 18, listen to what he says. And the whole congregation, all the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. It was theirs for the taking, people of God.
Yeah.
It belonged to them. They fought for it. They went to war for it. They died for it. And it belonged to them. God gave them victory after victory, battle after battle, miracle after miracle. And Joshua says, there's still 7 out of the 12. That means 5 went in and got their stuff. You hear me, Pastor Rebecca?
Yeah.
Like 5 said, we fought for this.
Yeah.
Y'all may not want with y'all what belongs to y'all, but I want all of mine.
Yeah.
New creation want all of ours. And Joshua said, there's still 7 of y'all, and y'all did not go in and get your inheritance. Look at what he says in verse number 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you going to be slack to go to possess the land which the Lord your God, your fathers, have given you? How long are you going to wait to go in and to possess the land that the Lord has given you? Verse number 4. Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall go and rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. Remember Moses sent out the spies to spy out the land? Joshua and Caleb were amongst the spies, and they came back with a good report. And it was 10 of the spies that said there are giants in the promised land, that there are the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all these ites, all these enemies are in the promised land. Along with the giants, we have all the ites. So even though God gave us the land, we can't go in because there's too many enemies. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's go up at once. We are well able. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there right now, where you're like these 10 spies, where fear comes in. And it looked like what God promised you is too big to obtain. What God said belonged to you, you just look like you just don't believe you have the intellect. You don't believe you have the capability. You don't believe you have the know-how or what it takes to get it done. Maybe you feel inadequate. Sometimes what God shows me, I'm like, God, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel eligible for that. And God says, yeah, get out of your own way. Yeah. Oh! He said, you're absolutely right. Get out of your own way. Because what I have for you is too much for you. That's the God that we serve. He'll do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we could ever think, ask, or imagine. God says, you can't even think about this thing the way I want to give it to you. But God, he gives us stuff when we're ready for it.
Yeah.
This is why the body of Christ, this is why we miss it. Every time we're challenged, and Pastor and I have seen it over the 10 years, God has called us to empower people,
Amen.
To encourage people.
Amen.
We know our mission.
Yeah.
So when we say live your dreams, when we say go after your goals, it's not about materialistic possessions. It's not about trying to go after greed and money. But if God wants you to obtain certain things in your lifetime in fear, and the enemy tries to stop you from obtaining wealth, and God wants us to have wealth, I'm sorry. If God wants me to be rich and have wealth before I die, I'm going to do everything in my power to get it.
Amen.
Because God says it belongs to us. It's not that we have a big head. It's not that we're greedy. But God said there are certain things that he wants us to obtain. Not just to obtain it. Glory. This is not in my notes tonight. But we're in Joshua. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. Y'all know how Pastor Anthony goes. I go as the Lord leads me. Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. And I'm going to show you why he wants us to have wealth. Not just for us. It's not for us to have a bigger house or more possessions, more designer clothes, more custom-built homes. It's not for that. I said to our church on Sunday, we are blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
We are blessed to be a blessing. Pastor Rebecca and I'll never forget the first years in ministry, how we just didn't have the congregation. Even when we had a lot of people, sometimes we weren't meeting the financial need of the ministry. And God always sent us, sent us people that made a way. But for a season, my wife and I financially sustained the ministry.
Yeah.
And God allowed us in that season to be a blessing to the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
and we have no regrets about it. Because we have been given money to help the kingdom. We have been given money to advance the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to be grudgingly give money to the church and give money to the kingdom. He gives us good jobs. He gives us wealth. He gives us increase. He gives us abundance so that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Are you in Deuteronomy chapter number 8? Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Listen to what the Bible says in verse number 17. And thou say in thy heart. No, let me back up a little bit. Go to verse number 14. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 14. Then thy heart. It's so much here, Pastor. I don't know where to start. Glory be to God. Okay, verse number 12. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 12, because I want us to get the concept that I'm trying to portray tonight, that I'm trying to get across tonight. Mm-hmm. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and has built good godly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiplied, and thy silver and the gold is multiplied, and all that thy have is multiplied, then thy say in thy heart, and thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the wilderness, where there were scorpions and snakes and fiery things that could have killed you. I led you through the wilderness. Verse number 16. I fed you in the wilderness with manna, the miracle food that came from heaven. I gave you water out of the rock. I'm paraphrasing because I want to get to my point. I gave you quail from the ocean. You had seafood. Verse number 17. And thou say in thy heart, after you bless, after I give you houses, after I give you money, I give you silver and gold, and I give you land, and then you think it was you? God says, then you say in your heart, it was my power, verse 17, and my hand that got me this wealth. Verse 18 says it like this, people of God. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Watch why he wants to give you money, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto his fathers, unto the fathers, unto our fathers, as it is unto this day. God says, I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Joseph, that I will establish my covenant in the earth. So through tithing, through first fruits, through alms, through seeds of sowing money, through your faithful giving, I will establish my covenant that I promised to your forefathers. God is a good God, church. People of God, God is a good God. Yes, he is. I got one more scripture I want to leave with you before we get off the phone tonight. Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter number 12. Glory be to God. Go to Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 44. Matthew 12:44. We'll close out here tonight. Matthew 12, verse number 44. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 12, verse number 43. When we know who we are in God, we begin to work on ourselves, because becoming a Christian and being a Christian, the Bible says we need to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, we should be growing every week, growing every day spiritually. This is why we pray. This is why we got to read the Word of God. This is why we got to go to church. This is why we attend Bible study. This is why we go to prayer on Tuesday night, because we need to grow and mature spiritually. The Apostle Paul got frustrated in his day with the people of God. He said, because I want to give you so much more, but you're still drinking milk. You're not ready for meat. You're not ready for stronger teaching. You're not ready because you're still talking about Apollos, about Peter, about Paul. You're still wondering who's the greatest in the kingdom. And the Apostle Paul said, you're not ready for the deeper things of God. I want to give you more, but you got to show me that you're ready for more. And I'm going to use this example right here. Sometimes we have used this in the rehabilitation teaching, recovery programs that Pastor Rebecca and I used to be a part of. And this is one of the scriptures that we use a lot, trying to remind the people of God, once God clean you up, once God deliver you, once God gets you ready and get you to the place where he wants to do something new in your life, it's up to you and I to keep the light of Christ in our life, to keep our spirit fed, to keep good things coming into a good godly space. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. In other words, when we give our life to Christ and certain spirits come out of us that wasn't of God, certain demons have to leave because the Holy Spirit now dwells on the inside of us. That spirit goes around looking for a place to find a new home. Verse number 44. Then he says, when he can't find a place to go, he says, I'll return to the house that I was forced out of. And when he comes back, he findeth the place empty, swept clean, and ready for him to move back in, because something or someone did not replace that emptiness with the things that we needed to replace it with. Verse 45, then goeth he and talketh with seven other spirits who also don't have a place to stay. And he comes back and tries to reside in that person. And it said, when they come back and they're allowed to move back into that person, the state of that person is far greater worse than the original state that that person was in. When we know who we are in God, we don't give the enemy place in our lives anymore. I'm amazed at how many people have stepped away from the things of God, have stepped away from the house of God and church. Some have even said, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't even know if that God stuff is real anymore. Some have stepped away never to return. Don't let that be said of you. We got to keep coming to Bible study.
Yeah.
Maybe you're saying, Pastor Anthony, I've seen so much wrong in the church. I was part of a church and there was such a scandal. There was such schism. that there was such a coldness and I wasn't treated right in the church. The church really hurt me, Pastor Anthony, and I can relate to that. The church should not be the one hurting people. People in the church should not be the one hurting people. At New Creation, I guarantee you, because me and my wife are the pastors there, we won't allow you to be hurt in that church. We won't allow you to be wronged and you to be hurt and you to be mistreated at New Creation. Our church, for one, is a loving ministry, is a compassionate and caring ministry. And we stand by that. And we enforce that. But I'm not naive either. I know some churches. I've heard some stories. I've known some people that don't want to go to church anymore because of what happened in church and through church. But find yourself in a Bible teaching, word-based, loving church. Don't leave church totally. Keep looking in your city. Keep looking in your area. I'm sure there are many churches like New Creation that are good ministries. And I'm going to close on that note. When we know who we are in God, we don't allow the enemy to re-enter our lives.
Yeah.
But when we step away from the things of God, the enemy know he can have his way with us. When we start serving the world again and giving allegiance to the world, the enemy know he can have his way with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for an established people. That word backslide would never be related to our walk with God. That word falling away from the things of God would never be our testimony in the name of Jesus. Now, God, seal this word on our lives. May it not come back void, but shall it accomplish that which you sent it to do. I thank you for a people that are so hungry for a word, that are so hungry for the things of God, that, Lord, they want to edify their minds. They want to educate themselves. They want to become theologians in their own way. So, God, I thank you that tonight we have a people that are hungry to grow spiritually in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, right now, even as they hang up from the Bible study, I thank you for their private time and their word. I thank you that they're willing to learn more about the Bible, that they'll do research, that they'll cross-reference even what they learned tonight in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, bless your people and allow them to stay on fire for you and your word. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Well, people of God, we'll see you guys on next Tuesday at our Tuesday night prayer, next Wednesday at our Bible study, and Sunday, if you're in the area, 1482 Maple Avenue. The Word of God has been so powerfully preached this year in 2017. We ended our 3-day consecration, our 21-day fast on this week, and we believe God spoke to us. We believe this is the year of the boom, breakthrough opportunity, open doors, and manifestation. I make that declaration over your life as you move forward throughout this year that God is going to bless you all year long. Let this be the best year of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. See you next week. Good night, all. God bless.